Good evening, everyone, and thank you for coming to be here this evening. Before I even begin the lesson, I want to take the opportunity to thank everyone for their prayers. A lot of you have been praying on our behalf, because, as you know, because of the floods, Melissa was in danger of not being able to work and maybe even losing her job. And we were going to be down to one income, possibly, and maybe have to pay for our health insurance. So, in a recent meeting, Melissa was told that she's going to continue her benefits and continue her pay, regardless of how long it takes for them to get the facility up and running that she works at. So, our prayers have been answered, and we certainly appreciate everyone who's been praying for us, and we thank you. As you can see on the board, I'm going to talk about Noah tonight. It's funny that Wally alluded to him in his lesson. I was thinking as I was sitting there, that's who I'd like to talk to you about tonight. I want to talk about the story of Noah. Just to provide a little background information, the name Noah comes from either maybe one or two different Hebrew words. One is Nahem, which means to comfort or cheer, and the other is Nuah, which means to rest or provide rest. There's a lot of controversy on which one it actually comes from, but either way, I think it's safe to say that Noah's name has something to do with providing comfort or providing rest. Don't know a lot about Noah's childhood. In fact, the story of Noah picks up when he was 500 years old. We're told, I think, in the fifth chapter in verse 32, that when he was 500 years old, he begot three sons, and their names were Shem, Ham, and Japheth. I think also Noah is one of the most famous Bible characters. I think if you were to ask just about anybody who Noah was, they can tell you that Noah was the guy who built the ark. And here, in this building, as Wally was talking about, Noah is mentioned as one of the heroes of faith. He's a legend for his faith. And so we certainly recognize who Noah was and what he did. But tonight I'd like to look at the life of Noah from maybe a little bit of a different aspect than we're used to. And what I mean by that is I want to talk about Noah as a great father. Because I think Noah was more than just the ark builder. I feel that he was a great father. And as such, fathers, I think Noah serves as a huge example for us today on how to raise our children in a difficult time. When we are growing weary or having difficulties in raising our children, we can look to Noah and draw encouragement from his example. And so I submit to you that perhaps Noah's greatest accomplishment, although building the ark, I certainly would agree, is a very difficult task. But I would submit to you that maybe his greatest accomplishment was his family's faith. Let's take a look at what life was like in Noah's days. And I think as we go down the list, you might recognize some of these things. In Genesis chapter 6, verse 5, we are told that the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. So certainly Noah lived in an age of wickedness. He lived in an age of evil thinking or evil thoughts. We're told in verse 11 of the same chapter that the earth was filled with violence. And so this is certainly an age of corruption and violence. And by that, probably refers to bloodshed and murder and things as such as that. And again, these are all things that we recognize, even in today's age. There are wicked people amongst us. There are evil thinkers, people who build bombs and plant them to blow up buildings and hurt people. These are evil thinkers. We live in a corrupt and violent society. Just have to turn on the news and you will see the bloodshed that takes place on a daily basis. But I think that this time period was a unique time period. This was a time of that was really ugly, a frightening time to live. We're told in verse 12 that all flesh had corrupted their way on the earth. And so certainly we can relate to what life was like for Noah, but I think in this time period, it was even worse. But we can still learn from Noah how to combat this, because he did it during this time. So the question is, how did Noah succeed as a father in such a time? How did he do this? I certainly think that Noah didn't have some of the luxuries that we have. I think it's wonderful that my wife and I can bring Connor here, and there are other God-fearing people with children that Connor considers his friends. And I think that's a great blessing. And even some of the kids in the neighborhood have become friends with him. And you know, these people may not be religious, but they're at least, in some stages, good people. Noah didn't have this luxury. Everything around him was wicked. He couldn't let his children play with the other children and such things. So certainly Noah faced a very, very difficult task in teaching and raising his children to obey God. And that's why I think he was such a great father, and that's why I think we can draw so much encouragement and learn so much from him. I think first and foremost, he started with himself. I think Noah obviously practiced righteousness. He lived it. And so, in order to be a good father, he started with himself. He got his life right with God. And so I will suggest to all of us that are fathers here tonight, that's where we need to start. We need to start with ourselves. We simply cannot teach our children, or anybody else for that matter, if we are actually not living and practicing righteousness ourselves. And just think about it. Noah's sons had a father who set such an incredible example, a giant pathway that they could follow. This is how God wants us to live, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And so, fathers, I again implore you that it all starts with us. If we are living and practicing righteousness, we can then show them by example and also teach them by word. Let's look at the descriptions of Noah, what the Bible has to say about him. In Genesis 6, verse 8, we're told that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah's righteousness did not go unnoticed to God. When God looked upon Noah, he saw an obedient servant. He saw what he was looking for when he created man. And so he found favor, Noah did, in the eyes of the Lord. Verse 9 tells us that Noah was a just man. He was a righteous man, an upright man. When it came to doing what was right or wrong, Noah did what was right. He was just. We're also told in that same verse that Noah was perfect or blameless in his generations. There was nobody like him during his time. We're also told that Noah walked with God. And I find this to be a very interesting phrase. In my short preparation for this sermon, I looked for this phrase in other spots, but I had only found it in just two. Just Enoch and Noah are described in this way, that they walked with God. And it gives me the idea that Noah had this close relationship with God. He had a certain nearness to God. You just think, if you walk with somebody, maybe your significant other, on the beach or on the sidewalk, you're walking side by side. And so Noah's life was, I guess, in harmony with God's commandments. Noah walked with God. Also in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7, we're told that Noah by faith moved with godly fear. Nowhere in the story of Noah will you find him complaining about the task that was appointed to him. There was no whining or, "No, I can't do that, God. That's too hard." God told him what he was going to do and how to be saved, and he did it. Did he have tough days? Oh, yeah. I'm sure he had frustrating and aggravating, and it was hard labor, so there was probably a lot of pain involved. He sure did have tough days. But we're told that he moved with godly fear. How about us, fathers? Do we do the same when we are commanded? Do we move with godly fear? And of course, we're told that Noah, through his faith, became an heir of righteousness. Noah's name is now synonymous with righteousness. Okay. In 2 Peter, the 2nd chapter, verse 5, we're told what Noah also did while he was building this ark. I'll turn there and read that to you. The Apostle Peter talks about how Noah preached righteousness. Fade it out here. Here we go. and did not spare the ancient world, but saved Noah, one of eight people, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood on the world of the ungodly. So the whole time that Noah was building this ark, he was warning people of their impending doom. You can imagine, as he built this ark, how many people would come to see what he was doing. They had to have come to see this monstrosity that he was building. And they probably made fun of him. They probably mocked him and gave him a hard time. But he was trying to preach to them to turn and repent from their wickedness. However, nobody listened to Noah. Nobody except his family. This must have been discouraging for Noah. On top of the hard labor in building this ark and the ridicule that he must have faced, the fact that nobody would listen must have been very discouraging for Noah. But he is a testament of sheer determination because he stayed true to God and the work that was appointed to him. He finished the ark. And I think it's safe to say that his family helped him build that ark, and they followed his faithful walk. So what was the result? The result was Noah won his family. We're told in Genesis chapter 7 and verse 1, "Then the Lord said to Noah, come into the ark, you and all your household, because I have seen that you are righteous before me in this generation." So Noah won his family. That day that the floods were coming, he and his whole household entered the ark. And besides his own salvation, this was the most important accomplishment in his life. Just imagine what a proud day it must have been for Noah that day as he entered the ark, knowing that his wife, his children, and his son's wives were with him. And as parents, don't we long for the same? Isn't it our sincere desire that when Christ comes again, that our children will be right there with us to enter heaven? A lot faster than I thought I would. To kind of wrap this up, this isn't an easy time to be a father. We face difficult times. Not quite like Noah, but we still have the same battle. We are trying to train our children and teach them up to be obedient to the Lord. And what we're battling is the world. The world wants their soul. The lust of this world. And we have a lot of things nowadays that distract us. Maybe Noah didn't have as many things to distract him, but in today's age, we have a lot of things that will distract us. Our jobs, TV, and many other things. And it's very easy as fathers, or I guess parents, I should include, to allow these distractions to deter us from doing what we're supposed to be doing, our responsibility in training our children. Just as it was in the days of Noah, I think God's grace is sufficient for us, and He can help us. You all know this proverb. It's very, very well known. Proverbs 22, verse 6. And I think it's very appropriate. "Train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. I'd like to read to you briefly from Deuteronomy chapter 6, another, I think, fitting passage of Scripture. Deuteronomy 6, 20 through 25. When your son asks you in time to come, saying, "What is the meaning of the testimonies, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord our God has commanded you?" Then you shall say to your son, "We were slaves of Pharaoh in Egypt, and the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. And the Lord showed signs and wonders before our eyes, great and severe, against Egypt, Pharaoh and all his household. Then he brought us out from here, that he might bring us in, to give us the land of which he swore to our fathers. And the Lord commanded us to observe all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God, for our good always, that he might preserve us alive as it is this day. Then it will be righteousness for us if we are careful to observe all these commandments before the Lord our God, as he has commanded us." Dads, when our children come up and ask us about the statutes and commandments of God, will we know what to tell them, and more importantly, will we be doing them? Will we be practicing them? In conclusion, may God enable us to win our families to Christ. Let us walk with God, and let us teach our children to follow. This hasn't been a lesson designed to tell you what you need to do to be saved. But if you are here tonight and are in any way ready to make your life right with God, we want to help you. We can show you through the Scriptures what you need to do to be saved. And so please, if you're ready to make a change in your life, we ask you to come forward as we stand and sing.